on our members. Let's have this short presentation by National Treasury or by from Momo on behalf of National Treasury. I emphasize and stress that it is a short presentation because it's only the introduction of a letter that we're still going to process, so that we've got enough time to deal with the adoption of the credit rating bill. It has to be short, Mo. I know you still retain your activist approach on everything. You know, your bag. Like still running away from the police during UDF days. Okay, well, what to you?
Okay, thank you, Chris. I will be quick here. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to raise this issue, because I do think that this is really an important issue, and we wanted to make sure that Parliament was just aware of the cases we put out, or the other cases will be coming out in the next week or two. Okay, we put out the paper in the middle of May, and I think members have a copy of it for Time and savings in bed, and told you of the proposals to now in the 2012 budget. Before I get there, I'm not going to go through these slides for the job of people. I just wanted to remind you, and I'm not going to go through these slides, but to just remember that these proposals are taking place in the context that we are announcing the shift to the sea, where we move from light touch to more inclusive regulation. We focus not just on the prudential regulator, but the master conduct regulator. And we've gone through all of this. I'm not going to go through all of this, this diagram, etc. And I think that there are going to be some implications for all the regulators or supervisors. We need to define what the regulator and supervisor for the system. And you know, we do want them all to be much stronger, much more inclusive, much tougher. And there is the issue of legal liability, which like we dealt with today. In fact, having gone through the financial market bill, I think it does raise like great issues on competition, on the issue of legal liability, which certainly we're going to have to take into account as we do the 20th legislation next year. And I think that really we do want to, I should add, make the point that financial institutions should generally be held to higher standards of consumer protection. That's why we're asking for carve-outs from the Consumer Protection Act, because these contracts take time to complete. As you know, a pension fund could take 60 years to complete from the time you start contributing, like you start at age 20, 25, to the point where you die. If you want to make sure your pension gets paid, not just on the day you retire, but right up to the end of your life. So I'll skip all that. So, Chair, when we present this, and I'm raising this because people say, okay, the SIMPIC reform, the social security reform, is this not fishing? I think we want to point out these are an urgent set of proposals, and we'll see them some more urgent. They were announced on the 2012 budget. Some of the announcements were also made, for example, on the taxation of retirement funds, were made in last year's budget. And the Minister has taken great care to say these are draft proposals for strengthening the current policy framework, largely the private retirement fund industry. And that there will be a lot of consultation on this. And, you know, and for that reason, I think we delayed slightly on publishing these because the Minister wanted us to make triply sure that we were consulting with industry, with Union Federation. And I think we're very keen to point out that largely our approach is to protect best design. And in fact, to the extent that even people want to change, or even want us to change best design, there needs to be a proper process. Because even if you talk of changing investment habits, you know, people have saved up to 8.5, you can't change the pension scheme of that. It gets people also to act rationally. And in fact, I was at the Potato workshop last week where people are rushing to cash pensions. So I just want to make an obvious statement. We're not out here to take anybody's pension away. And we will protect, you know, if you are meant to be able to take your cash out, you can continue to do so, whatever we say in this reform, for what you think up to now currently. The changes generally that we announced will be towards the future, and to the extent that anybody wants anything to be retrospective or go backwards, it should be just because there's a clear benefit, and that's it. But, you know, and I want to emphasize that I think that there's a lot of talk out there, as I said, and we talked to the Youth Federation, and we said to them that we would go out and just get this message out there. Short people would say, no, people are helping them because they want to cash out, etc. We've kind of emphasized there's no such talk from government, and that the members of pension funds must know that the funds are secure, and whatever promises they've had previously, that at the very least, that will be adhered to from the side of government. So the minister has committed to extensive consultation. Now, I just want to deal with the issue of broad social security reform. I know, like every year, we said this year by June it will come out. I want to hide under the table, but it's not out yet. There has been some progress. There is agreement between the departments. There's a paper that's been put forward to cabinet, and once cabinet has completed this process, it will be put out. It's not for me to say when that process will be completed. I know that I think these are complex issues. We say this to the unions as well. They're not easy issues, and even once the consultation process starts, it's going to take a long time. But I think when we first announced this proposal in 2006, we were very optimistic we'd do it in a few years. We then delayed on issues like retirement costs, some 70, and frankly we've reached the point that we feel these we should proceed with. Because the social security reform is a slower track, it's much broader, but retirement issues are really urgent, and some of them I think don't require. Now, nobody will argue, except for the industry perhaps, that cost shouldn't be lowered. So whether we have social security reform or not, in both instances, we still need these reforms. So it's not piecemeal, we should just see these as being going in parallel. So just to go through the paper itself, so we published this paper on the 14th of May, when the minister had a press conference. And really they deal with at least four sets of issues. The one big problem that South Africans don't save enough, and we're talking about households here, and even when they say that what they have at the end is not adequate, to the extent that even those who save generally don't reserve, also your pensions when you leave the job, the industry for example, all the defaults are the wrong way. The HR department will not take you to try and get you to cash out your pension fund. It's not automatically put into a similar mechanism. The third thing, I think, and I really think this is quite scandalous, frankly. You know, I think there's a lot of focus on bank charges, but I think that the high fees and charges that we have on some of the retirement products are simply scandalous. And really, this is an area that we're quite determined that a lot needs to be done. And of course, the other point to make is that even when people retire, there's very few people who annuitize. By annuitize, I mean when you put it into a product that will then pay you a monthly income for the rest of your life. In fact, you find that at the point that people retire, even many pension funds say bye-bye and actually don't even give you advice. And that's the point that we have submitted. You probably need a lot more advice than you did earlier. Because it's too late to change things, and we've got to just look at the options you have. I should add that the retirement fund industry is big. We estimate about 2.4 trillion. So it's a massive industry. And here we just sort of give you an indication of the savings, most of the semicircles on the left and the red bits are all the time you can put them to some form of time fund, the red, orange, etc. And the total that after adjusting to the figure that I've indicated. Again, I mean, these tables are out, and you know, you'll be able to read it perhaps much easier on the document. As I said, some of the urgent, so the paper really deals with the urgent short to medium term reform. I've gone through some you also look at issues like, at the moment, there's a different tax regime as it applies to your pension fund, to provident fund, to retirement and use. We want to see whether we can have a more uniform approach to all retirement contributions. And we also want to look at increasing tax incentives, not just, I mean, whilst most of your savings, I think about 5%, if you look at that circle that we showed you, could be around retirement savings. The rest of it are non-retirement savings. And we are looking at tax incentivized products or tax incentives to also get people to save for other objectives aside from retirement. So what we promised in that paper, and actually get hired under the table, was to say that we published at least five papers. The first text was supposed to be published on the 15th of June. We did feel that, and one of the papers wasn't translation and portability, but we did feel that it does require more consultation. For example, we noted that there were some concerns in one of the previous trade union federations, issued a statement, and you know, the minister has written to the general secretary of the party to point out that he's looking forward to meeting with the consulting leadership to discuss these measures, that they are not piecemeal, that some of these measures are necessary, and to allay some concerns of the type that were put forward earlier. I think we've also put forward the view that if we take the view, for example, on preservation that says we shouldn't do anything on preservation because people unemployment, therefore you can't preserve. I think that then you're going to have a situation where people never preserve. What we try to say is, obviously, to make, you know, our savings rate will go up, we will have better preservation. If our unemployment rate is down to, I guess, what's normal in other countries, 4%, 5%, where the labor participation rate is also much higher, that's the best way that you can get saved. When you have the high unemployment rate that you have like in South Africa, and I should add the low labor force participation rate, so many people are studying, so they're not looking for work, so technically they're not unemployed, it does make the challenge of saving harder, because people are looking after bigger households, and you know, the build-up phase is just much higher and hurdles are high. So I think that these are issues that we put on the table. And for us, it's as and when we publish these papers that we really want much more discussion and debate. And the approach we've taken is we hope that all the papers will be out this year, will be published, and then from early next year, specific proposals will be put forward. They will no longer be draft proposals, but proposals then put forward and legislation put in place, so that many of these could be legislated for next year. Okay. And I'll just give our time for saying, I just want to touch on a few areas. I'm not going to go through all the slides, but I do think that the greatest problem we face is preservation and affordability when people say, okay? And I should add that often people think it's an either or. This is really a question of threshold, but there are instances which make it too easy. People leave their job, and then they can cash their pension. They don't even know. I mean, firstly, the employers or the pension funds or the HR departments are forcing you to take cash. Even in our own pension fund, CPF, I know people leave government. The HR departments are just asking you to give you the money. not to tell you that actually we're giving you 30,000, but 50,000 to pay the taxes by taking it out early. The defaults are all wrong in that it's not put into a preservation fund. In fact, we think that if we change the default and start saying, look, when you want to take out your money, you need to be free card, you need to look at six, five financial advisors, just so that you really think through before you get the money out. So don't believe in value from taking the money, but just to make you sweat a bit more. The system at the moment is actually just gives you the money and makes you sweat if you actually want to preserve. You have to do a lot more effort, go to financial advisors, etc. There's even cases, I think, where people, if they don't artificially leave their job today and join up tomorrow, also people who artificially divorce today so that they can get their cash payout and then effectively get married again tomorrow if it's allowed. Of course, in some cases they leave their job or their marriage thinking they're going to get together again. The employer says goodbye, thank you. So people start taking the silly risks as well. So I think that for us the issue of preservation is really important. We do believe it's a question of threshold. Even the current system, when you retire on your pension fund, you're allowed to take out one third or put two thirds into an annuity. And as I said, that's where we've found that we've been quite shocked to see to what extent the industry is actually selling people the wrong annuity. And I'll deal with that in a moment, where they sell you living annuities which basically dry up in a few years and then leave you with hardly an income in your last few years if you outlive, even if you live longer than, say, 10 years or whatever. I want to emphasize about protecting vested rights, because even when you talk preservation, we've gone to all the unions, we'll protect vested rights. This will be a deeply consultative process. We don't want people to say that they got to rush the cash out. Okay? That's, I think, quite important. We're hoping that this paper will be published very shortly. I'm hoping in the next 2 weeks, the paper on preservation. It really won't be much more than I said, but just point out the options, because it's not an either or. There are options that you could exercise. You could allow some checking up to a point. Most people who are worried about not being allowed to cash out are in provident funds, and in fact, on average, the amount that they hold is something like 75,000. The threshold is actually very low. So we don't think it's much of an issue. I think the other area that we want to move on is really to improve fund governance. I think that generally, we find that you have trustees, they don't have the experience or skills, the conflicts of interest. It's a tough job, but people, we've engaged with the unions to say when your members are made trustees, they need to look at their fiduciary responsibilities and they owe that to the fund. We want to put in place mechanisms to train trustees and make sure the trustees are not just saying by service providers. At the moment, they're too dependent on service providers. If there's nice meetings at nice fancy places, nice hotels, people actually seem to get blind to what service providers tend to provide, over-provide to the trustee, not necessarily in the interest of the pension fund. We also want to professionalize the role of principal officers. And some of these proposals will be put out in the preservation paper. So this is an area that we really think we need to move quickly. We are looking at even the minister calling a conference of trustees this year to start taking up some of the issues. And I should say that when we want to do this, we also want to extend it to public pension funds. You'll find pension funds like the one I belong to, GEPF, state-owned entity funds are really outside the net. Generally, and in the red book we've said, these funds should generally not be different. They should all under the same Pension Fund Act, and if anything, should be held to high standards. Of course, some of them are still DB funds, and we are, for example, worried that, especially in many municipalities, some of those funds, their pension fund commitments, are really not sustainable. especially when he looks at the high remuneration increases in the TV funds, you find the liabilities now are based on final salary. But the assets are still growing modestly. So you find that I don't believe that there's enough oversight over some of the pension liabilities, the actual liabilities that may be sitting in some of the local government pension funds. I think that the paper that we are about to publish is one on the annuities market. As I said, if you look at those graphs, you'll see that before what was conventional annuities tended to be sold more, but and living annuities were largely for the richer market, but generally these have now taken over. They've almost converged, they're almost the same in terms of volume. And this is a real concern, because what the living annuity is, it's almost like a bank account where you draw down. The percentage is very high, it's drawn down, 55, 7 years, it's finished and clocked, and a lot of this is driven because the incentives are wrong. It just means high commissions to people who sell you the living annuity. It just doesn't make any sense at all. When you talk to actually, even in the major companies, nobody has argued that this trend is completely the worst possible trend, and that things need to be reversed. But nobody seems to be doing, certainly within industry, enough to change this. It is a structural problem, and we're going to have to deal with it in 10 years. I think this paper check is going to, I think, really cause quite a sensation, because you will find that although we are going to still publish a paper on cost, and that deals with fund retirement, joint or investment fund retirement annuity, and generally our first approach is that many of these funds, like the pension funds, with the larger funds tend to negotiate a better product, but generally like with annuities and so on, you need a more standardized type product because people have so many products, and this is a general problem in the financial sector, that certainly the low and middle income market, people are confused and don't know what to choose, and they will choose the wrong product like this. And if you look at, you know, this is the graph that we produced, and you know, you find that South Africa tends to be at really the very high end. With our umbrella fund, tends to yield really very high. Sure, people compare apples to apples. All these international comparisons are, you can dispute some of the facts, and we are looking at this over a 40-year period, but. All indicators show that we are on the wrong end. We should be right at, you know, somewhere at the bottom, be right at the top if you look at this set of countries. And I'm still going to come to the living annuities towards the end. We are looking at tax savings vehicles, as I said, bringing in what are similar to the UK, what they call the ESA. Where, for example, government allows you, and some of this was announced in the budget, where you can put over and above your retirement a certain amount, say 50,000 towards, you know, and you get a tax deduction on that amount, up to say 500,000 as a lifetime contribution. There are issues about how this will fit in then with the interest exemption scheme. We want to broaden it to have a dispensation like this. I won't deal with the issue now, but we are producing a paper in the next week or two, which will provide more detail. So, Chair, we do want to harmonize the taxation regimes on all the funds. It will raise tough issues about why there are differences between different types of funds, but let me not go into the detail now. And these are the technical papers that we have promised to publish. We laid on two of them, but we're hoping to meet the next deadline and publish in the next week or two. At least three or four of the papers that you see on this list. The return is cost. One will come will be the last people because what on that is so convenient. Just with regard to consultation, we are consulting union industry once the papers are up. We're very happy to come to Parliament to talk to you about the different basis as we'll provide the team here. And here, I think just with regard to the new paper, it's in such a way that depending on it's a very layered system of jump, advisory fees, investment platform fees, etc. And often advisors tell you, you know, if you put money in, you won't have any fees. Of course, it's an annual fee that's charged, and typically that should be 3 to 4% an annum. And we have some stunning graphs to show you in a paper. You know, let's say you could be seeing 1,000 rand a month adjusted for inflation over 40 years. You'll find that the amount, say, could be 40 million. If at 4%, you might find that 60% of that 40 million is swallowed up by fees. Commissions and so on, leaving you with 40% of their total. Okay? And I think that's quite scandalous. And I think that this is an issue that we can take in a very vigorous way with the industry. Because to conclude, what we're saying is, firstly, South Africans don't pay me. And then there's complex reasons, like instant gratification. Sometimes we say, no, we have to catch up because of our apartheid legacy. But we also have to be honest, we do like instant gratification and so on. And that even when people save, and they do save when it costs to join an employer, the employer forces which make a pension contribution. We do save. And then what you save, 60% is swallowed up by the industry. I mean, it actually does raise the question, is it worth saving? So when the industry says they want to save, it's because the wrong people are then being catered for. So I think that given the issue of retirement, which is a very sensitive one, I think that it's extremely important that you are aware of some of the hard discussions that are going to take place. And I would see this as a major reform, which is urgent. I don't think we should delay on costs. Some of the papers which require consultation, like those on preservation, we will take to net that. But when it comes to an issue like cost, I don't think we should over-consult on the objective of lowering costs. And of course, we are just waiting for the market conduct regulator to come in place. And we are saying to the current regulator, are you being tough enough? Because how could we have this kind of situation of high costs and not seen this earlier? I mean, those are legitimate issues to ask of us. But I guess better late than ever. I don't know where the chair is.
All right, thank you, members. The chair is attending issues of international interest, so they have requested me just to facilitate for it. It's not around. All right, thank you very much for the presentation. I think this is a very enlightening presentation. But I just want to remind members that this is the beginning. They are just saying this is what they intend to do. There are technical papers that will be finalized in due course, and those technical papers will then be brought back for robust engagement at that stage. For that simple thing, we'll have ample time then to enrich the process going forward. This is sort of an indication of the direction that the National Federal Education is giving with retirement saving. I'm not sure if there are pressing questions that must be entertained in the light of the fact that we still have another presentation to do. But if there are clarifying questions, members are free to do that. But please remember, we have a day that we need to process before the conference. So, Honorable Mteta, Honorable Tubegana, Honorable Rolf, and Honorable Kororo. In that sequence, Honorable Chawlale, the last, in that sequence.
But my speaking, the Nyasaland question is based on one thing, that preservation part. Why people, if they change, you take into consideration that when people change different employers, their money they want to save in the preservation fund they are not given a chance to have to consolidate that money. Each time they go on a preservation bond, they have to open up a new account. It's a new account. They find that at the end of this, by the time of overtime, obviously got 20 rand there, 30 rand there, 50 rand there. Instead of this issue, have consolidated it into one account, and you control one account, maybe it's auto better in 74
days. And that's the question about that area.
Normally, I just need a free lecture from the teaching. What is the difference between, I need to be clear, the financial, what is the difference between the financial sector regulation, now that we are moving towards the clean kit model? One. Two, there are so many reforms, and I really need some explanation on those reforms. The social security reform is an annuity reform. It's a microprudential reform. So that when this white paper was published, I do have an understanding of this thing that we can put them.
Thank
you. That's indicated by the document, in the final statement. It has this indication that if this fund can review the cost of the diamond fund, that the document will be out in October. Now I see that in terms of fund, we then restructure how the different documents are going to be presented, but based upon detail. For example, providing the refinement that that document is supposed to be out to June 2012, preservation is supposed to be out to June 2012, planning the fiscal incentive August 2012, and then inform the final conditions model on another day. But is it possible that we can have some indication as to, in terms of the different categories, because I think the categories will give us more clarity as to how we should think in terms of the totality of the environment. That's the answer to the question. And then just to connect that, for half the country's workers belong to the environment fund, only half belong to the such fund. It means that the other half are not excluded at this point in time. And there are so many environment applications that we really should come up with some of the better proposals that we've heard in how we can include those people who are far more concerned about investing and carrying.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide 5, you're making the interesting remark that part of this initiative is to transform the SFD in a new market conduct regulation of maybe a market conduct regulation. Now, my simple question is, how long will we wait for this? Is it another 2 years? We've had so many tragedies since the entire United States. You mentioned Fidentia, but you forgot about the king. You forgot about the Italian million. You forgot about the relative value of a trading on million, that is over 3 million. How long will we wait for real action? If you say another 24 months, then obviously this committee should say other steps you might feel. Easier for the LSD to have all the needs to act.
Hello, Shawalala.
I'm trying to ask about printing the return
does it only apply to the public sector? The second one is in relation to government relief funds. Am I not able to answer the official question? How many people? I would like to find out, do you know at this rate what is the GPS, what is, how much are the customers among their assets? One asking that question, if you could remember that the issue of sunrise and so forth and so on, why people went and they were daring neighbors and they were taking, because they were worried about their own assets, they were worried about the assets itself. So I would want to find out, you know, in that, as much as
I think those are all the questions, and maybe one thing that that's my open question, I'm still on course in the time or the deadline that I outlined here. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank let me just answer the question. I think let me just start with deadline, the most difficult question. Yes, we failed to deliver end of June. A lot of that has been because I think the process of consultation has taken longer. Because we've seen what is that when things come out, many stakeholders start just objecting rather than engaging. So the minister has really wanted us to really take lots and lots of steps to ensure that some of the players understand the content of some of these reforms. And so let's take the issue of reservation. I think part of the steps we've taken, we are worried at the messaging. As I said, I was at the Cultural Retirement Fund workshop last week, and some of the shop students explained how they've been confronted by some of their members. I don't know if some of this is because the ongoing discussion on fixed plant assets and so on, but certainly not on the change. And we are quite interested in the message suggested by really other expected. Nobody's going to take anybody's pension fund. It does seem that we are Africans look for any reason to get out of pension funds. We want to make sure that everybody knows no excuse for even thinking that we need to do so. So we have to slow down some of the basics. The things that have been ready, as you said, but you know, we've just been working through. But our revised deadline is still on track. We're hoping that this week or next week we'll publish, in the next 2 weeks, four papers. The retirement fund cost, which is the retirement fund cost, we said will come out in October, and it will still come out when we estimate. The providing a retirement income, which deals with annuity, that is ready, and it should come out, as we hope, this week or next week. We are about to keep it out. The preservation fund may require 2 to 3 weeks. Savings and fiscal incentives is also ready. This or next week, we will publish that. And the uniform retirement contribution paper is also ready. This being going to an extra week, hopefully in the next 2 weeks. So check. Four papers we are saying in the next 2 weeks. We may stagger it 2-3. Okay? We think there will still be time to engage. And the idea is that by early next year, the consultations will have been completed, and if we put some final proposal early in the year, possibly some of these urgent proposals will then be put in place, whether we need to legislate or use moral persuasion or get the regulators to deal with it, through the regulations to deal with it. I should add that just generally, we do want you to be tough, I think on which one of your questions, with the regulators. I don't believe you need a legislative change to toughen some of the enforcement mechanisms. It's like in the UK, you have Northern Rock. It's not just what did you do as a regulator, or when did you know there was a problem. It's also, when you knew there was a problem, what did you do? There are frustrations that our criminal justice system is not as effective as it should be, or people have a lot of recourse to all kinds of issues, and we looked at some of the cases, there's a campaign of litigation, if you look at the Nash instance, the dementia instance. You know, if I'm going to charge you for something, you're going to throw it back and tell me I'm a crook and I've done this and I've done that. We need a better way of dealing with these issues. And I think that to the extent that you call up the regulator and get information, to the extent that it can provide better, I don't think you should wait for 2 years or whatever. I think some of these steps, there's enough to do so in law, and in some cases our supervisors really, to put it mildly, have not shown the capacity to bite with sharp teeth as they should have. Some of the issues in the retirement industry really should have been picked up. I mean, there have been weaknesses out there. But as I said, better late than never. And I don't think you have to wait for legislation to fix these things up. With regard to the legislation, yes, we intend to put the Twin Peaks. You know, we've done a lot of the work since we published the lay document. We're hoping to publish some paper out in the next 2 months, which will provide more nitty-gritty detail. And after completing that discussion process, to put in place the Twin Peaks legislation next year, and hopefully by the end of next year, establish the two regulatory agencies. They'll still be in their formative stages. Having said that, doesn't mean, and it says to the FSB, you don't need a law to change to say someone shouldn't in the FSB be looking at market conduct in the banking sector, for example. Or that they just make sure that their teeth are sharpened. You don't need the law to change, okay? So some of this should be done really even now as we prepare. I think that, yes, there's a lot of issues. I think issues of consolidation, unclean surplus funds. I think that we need separate discussions for how you deal with some of these issues. I talked about some of it was changing the default so that at every stage, the system is biased towards your keeping of funds. Every pension fund has some link to the regulatory fund and to an annuity when you retire. So you always nudge in the right direction. If you want to change, then you need financial advice. So that the advice at least tells you to change your better product. The issues of commitments, we need a much more robust approach because as I've shown you, the wrong products have been sold, haven't they? They're driven by commitments, not by the best interest of the customer. I think I won't deal with all the issues on GPF. I'm just a mere member of the GPF. They constitute half of that 2.4, you know, at least a trillion, 2.4. trillion, and in terms of the assets, and I think the sum up is from the surface investment is just very small. But you know, as we look at financial sector, yes, there's a lot of talk of retirement reform, banks, life insurance. We're working on, I mean, this has become the busiest sector. That's why we have tons of legislation. And of course, along learning, it's not only legislation, you need to make sure there's other steps. The legislation by itself doesn't change things. So I won't answer the question from GPF. I think that this with regard to the question on credit, I think, yeah, there is a dilemma. And the minister met the bank this week. I think that we do need to start differentiating, and we do have a market conduct regulator, and it's done really good work, the National Credit Regulator. I think there are questions about how they would relate to a market conduct regulator. I think there's issues about what's good credit, bad credit. I think that we should begin to look at not just allowing easy debit orders to be given to all and sundry,
especially the guys who are lending to you recklessly. I mean, getting, I can't even want to get payments from their employers now. And many reverse in charge of government public servants, so they know that you're going to accept your debit orders on the 15th and you get paid. Please, everyone, to, even though, what is the old ADO and NADO system is blind on the day to which debit order is done. But I think we need to ask the question, should there be, you know, why do you need a debit order when you pay for your housing bond? And you need to lock people in, but when you pay for microloan, unsecured, you really need to give them the certainty of the debit order. Shouldn't they take more risk, especially they come at the end of the game? And this is a discussion we said we're taking up, certainly with the banking sector, but I should add that a lot of these loans are done by retailers and non-banks. So dealing with all of them, I think, is an issue. And you might find that the system has been biased to protect the small lenders, who often are the last lenders, and where perhaps the problem is. So I think getting a balance on those issues is an issue. But I want to try and give them before. I think I'll stop there. I think I'll tell you most of the questions. Questions like just the last one on workers who aren't on the pension plan. If you belong to a big industry, you are forced to be in a pension or provident fund. Okay, there's issues of pension versus provident fund. But those not in, I think that with preservation, and it's possible now, the issue of compelling people to join a pension fund when they get employed is something, in the terms of the portal enrollment system, is something that I think should look at. Thank you.
Request. All right, thank you very much, members. As I indicated, this is a work in progress, and obviously we hope that we will all strive, I mean, to adhere to the deadlines that have been applied. I think these are critical areas that really need to be entertained and going forward. The real chairperson is back, so I'm going to hand over to the chairperson then to take us to the next item, which is the dealing with the credit rating. Thank you,
Chef, for watching. So you're Andrea. You are Andrea. Okay, honorable member. The last item, my belief is that we have had the opportunity to go through this, but because we are now at the critical stage of adopting these recommendations. Can we come back? As of that, it is a practice, honorable members. My take would be that we should go clause by clause. If there's any comment, and so that we have to quickly run through the process. Are we done?
No.
Okay. I'm being advised here. Treasurer?
Chair, I think we have practically gone through the course. We've gone through it. We haven't physically gone through that
course.
We haven't gone through.
Yeah. Okay. Honourable Heather?
Chair, I think clarity from Treasury. We were given a bill last week. Is that the same as the bill that's been given now? I certainly have done my work on the bill we got last week. So.
We we did circulate, again, the documents yesterday. There was only one slight change that was made from the bill last week, and that was in the exemption clause. And we can refer to that when we go through that, just to extend the scope of there's some wording just to expand the scope of the exemption beyond just a registered preservation agency to include other persons to that the instructor grants to make that. That would be in clause, I think it's clause 27, but you can see that. But it was a very minor wording. It was just identified that perhaps it was just referred only to a registered credit rating agency for that clause. That would be too limited in scope for the powers of the registrar in relation to granting an exemption. Otherwise, we think the bill is exactly the same as that.
I'm just trying to understand the conversion. Yeah. Can you just confirm then that, for example, take the definition of credit rating? Does the last paragraph of that definition begin with the word issued or begin with the word using?
I believe it should say
issued. Because both versions of the bill that I have, the one from last week and from this week, don't have the word issued. But I see your amendment too, so I don't know if
that might have been a slight change that the state advisor may have included in the final checking of the A-Bank. Could you perhaps confirm?
Good morning, Sir President. I'd like to follow with this document that you have. For Sir President, there is the latest invention of the field. I also have the new version of the field, the Institute of Engine of the field. For the other version, I think they are going to ourselves, they are going to continue. The focus that person should be on the A or the B version of the bill and also on the proposed A of the bill. I think that should be how we approach this issue. For the other version, that incorporated all the broad amendments, I think I'm going to continue.
And it might just simply be a mistake, because the proposed amendment has a document of the definition of credit rating that's different from what we have in the version of the bill that's just used now. I mean, if it is just simply a mistake, then that's fine. But if it isn't, then we might be looking at a different version.
Good.
I would propose that we be guided by the A list that is circulated by the state law advisor. That was the finalized version that he sent through yesterday, and we sent it through to the committee secretary.
So what? Which document? I've got two documents here. One is the proposed amendment document, and you've got the credit rating scheme on the one side. Are these amendments incorporated in here? Because if they are incorporated, then we should then go law by law in terms of the bill. And then if there's something that is not reflected in the bill itself, but part of the proposed, then we should see how we deal with it. Which route do you prefer for massage? What is it that?
I would suggest to avoid any possible confusion that we particularly focus on the proposed amendments, the A list,
Yeah.
So that, because that is what the state law diver has thoroughly checked and it's correct, so then there shouldn't be, that should be the appropriate wording and the approved wording by the state law advisor, so then I don't think there should be ambiguity to write.
Melas, are you with us?
I'm happy for that to be the reference document, but for the members, it is quite confusing. And that can be the final word, that's fine, but ultimately, if we go to the court, it has to be through the version of the bill, rather than through the amendment. So I think I'm happy that the decision exists. It's what we consider a formal position, but we go through the bill itself, which is a flow deck and smaller.
Agreed. The committee members are not here. Clause by clause. Clause one. Whatever we are going to end up agreeing with here, we'll need your maximum attention. Because at the end of the day, you are the people who are going to finally put these documents together. You are making my task very difficult. Okay. I accept clause one. Are we together in terms of the inspection of this?
Can I propose that for clause one we go to definition by definition?
I know.
Well, there's only about 12 of them.
Yeah. None. Can you speak through the chair? No dialogue, please. Okay, what's your proposal, Larry?
I'll just go through it by definition. You can be run through each of the definitions of which there seems to be only about, I don't know, 15 or 12. And we can get that back. I mean, if you'd rather not, I'm happy to just...
I think, let's just say, we're on clause one. If there's an issue that you need to raise, go through it so that you deal with it.
If there is nothing on this particular page, then move on. Exactly where on close one. Okay. Are you with us? It would appear your documents are also confusing yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I think we are, and from what we can see, I think this version has incorporated all changes. Except that the mistake is there on the credit rating. Denise, do you want to speak? Because you can bring the version. So let's just get it there. Just make it easy, because you're making it difficult.
Yes, the version should incorporate all of the proposed changes. I apologize if that was quite typographical mistake there. I'm not quite sure how that was. But the version should essentially incorporate all of the changes that are especially if you look at the comparison documents that have exact changes that should reflect. Should
reflect the changes that are proposed in
the
A version of the bill. Oh, but the changes would be included in the version of the bill that was distributed. Yeah. No, I think with due respect, I don't think you are ready. And having agreed earlier on that in terms of the earlier item, you still got to come back next week to present a full and a comprehensive amended document for us to consider. I want to suggest that when we do that next week, we also treat the subject, and I think it will be better cleaned and all the things. At the moment, we're all over. I don't want us to adopt something that we're not very sure of. Agreed?
Quick request, Terry. If the committee could get the final version in good time, so
yeah,
we can work through it before we come out.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we've been apologies. I don't know how it's consumed. I think that's how it's sure that the version you have is the final version with the changes. The apologies that we've now started. Apology accepted. This brings us to the end of our visit for today.
Not that you don't have to be in the house later on, but for the purpose of the committee, I think we've completed our business. And thank you very much. And I must thank committee members and the whip for holding the fort in my absence. Thank you very much. See you later.
Well, I was saying that you have to ask.